There is a series we are looking into, and I will not be the one to start. There is a verse that God has prepared for us. You know, when I taught on the apostolic sending model, one of the things I showed us is that you don't determine who somebody is until you just carry everybody, put in the query site. We'll continue to pray and fast and minister to the Lord. Over time, people, what is inside will begin to come out. You don't need to say, you are this. They begin to, no. Is that because if somebody begins to do something that is not coming, there will be no grace to power it. But the proof that this thing came from query site is that when a person begins to teach, minister, leave that thing, anybody that comes across him or her will feel the impact beyond the words spoken, because it's a ministry of life. Now, concerning character, this is one of the ways, the major thing that God does. Do you know that if you ask Moses before that encounter where he killed somebody, he will never know that he had the capacity? Do you know? In his own mind, what he wanted to do was to do ministry for God. He realized the mandate that was upon him. So he set aside. In his own mind, he is doing the work of God. I need to explain to you the mistake that young people make. The mistake that young people make is that they set out doing things for God. Meanwhile, what they are trying to do, God is the one that said it. The way they are going about doing it is now the problem. Because ministry is done through life. It's life. It has to come from inside. That is the only way it will last. That is the only way you will have a lasting impression on people. So when you come first time to God and he says he wants to use you, he's probably drop some more anointing on you. And then you go out and do some things, only for you to come back and notice that in spite of what you did, anger is still there. In spite of what you did, just like Moses realized, that he is willing to do anything to succeed in ministry. You are not with me. That's when he found out that he has ambition. That what he thought was ministry has been hijacked by Satan. That even though God said, this is what I want to do, it is important to wait so that God will begin to do what he said he wants to do his way. Because if Satan cannot stop you from hearing what God wants to do, he will make sure you do what God wants you to do in your own way or his own way and never God's way. He will take advantage of a character deficiency and begin to fire you. But when that man Moses came out from the wilderness, do you know his testimony? They say he is the meekest man. The same place that he was the weakest, he became the strongest. He became an example to his generation. Are you now seeing the mystery of God's working in the heart of a man? He will first of all reveal it. Eh? And a man that understands this thing, you should not be angry. You should not be discouraged, disappointed when the Holy Spirit is revealing some of your weakness. Have you not noticed that there is a way we begin to pray here and you start noticing people's weaknesses? Didn't you see it? That is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because it will begin to show you that what you have been doing before is not anything. It is now that God began to take you serious. So you now know where to center your prayer points and your emphasis. When you make progress in the spirit, you will know. We'll trust God to shift us. Huh? Trust God to shift you. In Jesus' name. I want to welcome my sister Chidimma for the next 40 minutes.
Not the one that can bring the light into your heart, the Holy Ghost. Next 1 minute, can we pray and ask the Holy Ghost to open our eyes to what He wants us to see this evening? Bande breno shabande e kabala son de berede shabala das kian de bente kaba e sombrande shabata ya mande kabada e kaban sombre te de shabada e kata shabande kebede de shanda kaba e ambelo sabente kebede sha rabada bada sian de kande bere shabada gadasa e ataba da sain de kebede sombre taya rabata iana mene de kande betesha rata siada bende kaya meletesha taya kaya sombete rabante sombete jabena da kabalante ikabana somente yamena ya kabasa imene de sobede gede rabata saiana bata kande kabababa Nabada bada 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 sombeta ya kaba shabata rabata yanante ya kabete shata rabata ya ikamana dada barada dabara bada sombeta ya kaba rato sande kaba kaba ikabante sombete bataya rabaste yanataya we enter into the light of your word oh God bata 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 ya kota saina rato saikobes I komata ya baba tabada bada rakwata shata tata rato skonde te ya namana taya kababa bata skoba I kabata 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 kaba kante te ratatata if truly you want to enter into the experience of the world kwata rabande kamesh I kobeta ya maba kata tata ta oh lord kaina belata ya kaka kaka ta ta kampete ta kabata ya e kwanda kambate shabata rabata In Jesus' name.
In the kingdom, every possibility in the kingdom of God has actually been made available unto us. Everything that is needed for you and me to execute that which has been apportioned unto us has been made available. Everything, every single thing has been made available unto us. Pertaining to the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ has made it available, and through the Holy Ghost, there is access for us to lay hold on each and every one of them. And in every kingdom, before we go, I go on to what we have today. In the kingdom of God, in any kingdom, there are things that govern or administrate everything that goes around in every kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, there are cultures of heaven, there are cultures of the kingdom. There are things that there are plans, patterns that you must follow for you to lay hold of everything that is in the kingdom of God. If it is in the kingdom of God, you must follow according to that culture. You must imbibe that culture. Like, for example, prayer is the culture of the kingdom of God. So for you to lay hold on things in the kingdom of God, you must follow the culture of that kingdom. You cannot say that there is nothing like blending. You know, sometimes in culture say, let's blend, bring this one, you now blend it together and then you manipulate and then bring out something. No, in the kingdom of God, the culture is the culture. You must follow according to what? Pattern. If you are in the kingdom, now if you are not if your assignment, if your focus is not the kingdom, you can actually go with any culture. You can actually blend. You can actually do whatever you want and then come out with results. But if everything you are doing is pertaining to the kingdom, you must follow according to what? The culture, the patterns that is in the kingdom. You cannot borrow from the kingdom of the world and then join it, blend it, and actually expect to be fruitful. No. In the kingdom of God, we follow what? Patterns and the what? The culture. If it is the kingdom of God, the pattern has been set and the possibility has been made available. By the Holy Ghost, we can now what? Assess it. The reason why I made this point before we go to what we have, say that in the anchor scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, it says that everything pertaining to the kingdom has been made what? Available. Now, things that have been made available, you cannot lay hold on it. When the culture is guiding you, when the patterns that is surrounding your life is not in tangent with the patterns of the kingdom whereby you are representing, you cannot properly lay hold. You might be laying hold, but it will not amount to anything because they are conflicting what? Cultures. If truly your focus is the kingdom of God, then you leave every other culture and now immerse yourself in the culture of the kingdom so that whatever that is pertaining to that kingdom, you can be able to what? To lay hold. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. From verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our salvation and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall not fail. Now, there are plenty things to get out of this scripture, but I'll just get two things and then I'll hand over to Papa. Thank you for the privilege. God bless you, sir. So, I want us to go to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, I want you to underline be in you and abound. Just those two things and then. If these things be in you and abound. Now, I want to talk about the be and abound there. Now, the characters are the divine nature of Christ. No, when we talk about characters, it's not something that we can find out of context. It is the nature of Christ. the fruits of the Holy Spirit, those things listed in Ephesians, those are the characters that we can find in the nature of Christ. But first of all, in this verse 8, the Bible said that, for if these things be in you, first of all, there is a being in the character. You have to be. And you know, the word of God said that, for all that Jesus began to do and to what to teach, he became something before he actually what started doing something or teaching something. So the being aspect of the character, that is where, you know, in the tagging of, it says that characters are what cultivated. So the process of being is what the process of what cultivation. The process whereby you start cultivating this character is not a gift. Or this character is not something that can be impacted. You cultivate it. So the process of you cultivating these characters is the being aspect. There is a being aspect, where a process whereby you become something. Then when you become something, you cannot actually push it out to the next person. That is the abounding part. But before that, when you come to cultivation, I will use the scripture in Mark chapter 4 to explain the scenario there. The Bible talks about the seed that has been sown, and the one that fall by this way. When you hear of cultivation, I don't know what the first thing that comes to your mind. Cultivation. When I was reading this place, I heard cultivation. And then, when you are cultivating something, what is the first thing that will come to your mind? The soil. So no matter what you are doing, no matter the character you are trying to cultivate, if the soil whereby the character will be germinated is not good, it cannot hold. Along the way, it will still go down. So we have to look at the soil. Before, let's go to that scripture, Mark chapter 4. We'll take it one after the other. Let's see the examples of different soil, the characters we are trying to be sown. And you saw that most of them didn't hold until they came to the last one, which is the good one, the good soil. It is only in a good soil that you can actually cultivate a character and it will bloom and bear much fruit. Let's go there. Mark chapter 4. Someone should help me, please. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. We'll take it one after the other.
Mark 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground.
It's okay. We'll still continue. But let me just go through the first one. Now, in this, each of the verses, I ascribe it to the first one. It said that verse 4. It is written. Verse 4. And it came to pass, he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Now, I ascribe this one as, in cultivation, there are things that is needed for your soil to be a fertile soil. The first one, I will try to explain the scenario together. It's yieldedness and willingness. If you look at this one, they say that the seed fell on the wayside. You know, a pathway is where anything can happen. Anything can happen on a way, a path that is not secured. So, the way you yield your vessel, the way you bring out, you know you are the soil whereby a character can be cultivated. The way you yield, your willingness determines how the soil can actually germinate how the character can actually germinate. If you are not yielded, you know, when yieldedness is when you come. You know, you are not yielding to someone else. You are yielding to the Holy Ghost. You now come and tell the Holy Spirit, you see, I know I am lacking in integrity, but I come. I know I cannot do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. You come. You yield your vessel. You are willing. You come. Say that this is a seed that fell on the wayside. But if you come as you are, that as in you are okay by yourself. Your vessel is not yielded. You are just like that. You come. The character will come. They say that when you go down, say the fowls of the air came. And now what? Collected it. Now, if you are not yielded, then there are things in your soul that will come and what? And if your vessel is given unto someone, then given unto the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will be in charge. He's the one that will now stand and say, if something else is coming to take away that which has been bettered in your spirit, he will stand because you have given him permission to act. Yieldedness is giving Holy Ghost the permission to walk through you, to walk in your vessel, to do that which he wants. By himself, according to his own pattern, according to his own way. That is when you yield your vessel, yieldedness. Now, when the cultivation of any character comes, and he comes and see that, this vessel is yielded, no matter what I do, is a good ground for the seed to what? To germinate and bear much fruit. It will stay. But if your vessel is not yielded, then things out of your soul, your flesh, your body can come and take it away. Yieldedness. When you go to the second part, numbers, we say that the stony ground, there are ground that needs to be bended. There are hearts that need to be broken. If it's not broken, it will just be on a shallow level. If things come, if circumstances, if dealings come, you will see that I don't have anything. You think there are things you think you have. There are things you think that I've mastered in this one. There are dealings that you will come your way. There are things that you come your way. And you know that definitely I've not surrendered my soil to be broken down. I've not surrendered my soil to be broken down very well. You know, in breaking of your soul, the hardness of your soul is in level. You cannot compare the hardness of a block with cement and sand with the one of concrete. You know the level of the hardness of your heart. So if you submit your own to 10% breaking, then the character you are growing will only grow up to 10%. When things that are more than 10% comes, you see that you wither and you die. Remember, we are talking about the soil. I'm still talking about the soil where you can grow this character. We might not enter the character per se. But let's first of all look at the foundation. The Bible says, if the foundation is faulty, what would the righteous do? If the foundation is faulty, I'm telling you the truth. There is no character that you can sustain. You can't sustain it. So the first thing we look at is you yielding yourself to the Holy Ghost. He's the one that will come. Sometimes you think there will be a time you say, I will not lie. Me lie. God help me never to lie again. Holy Ghost, I come. I cry. You cry. You cry. You cry. When you go out that day, you see that you lied more than 3 times. No, it's not a reason for you to now go back and say and relax. Oh, this is my faith. No, you come back again. That is the yieldedness of your soul. It shows how yielded you are. You know that this I can is a bargain. You now come, Holy Ghost, to see I did it again today, but I come back. You pour out your vein. We are talking about soul. You pour it out until you've come to that point where you cannot master. You still continue coming to the Holy Ghost. Now we go, and in this part we looked at it as a point of despondence. You know there is nothing you can ever achieve on your own. That's why you are submitting your soul to be broken by the Holy Ghost. If you try it on your own, you see that you fail woefully. There are things you can never ever achieve on your own. That's why you come. You know that woman in Luke chapter 18, she came with the mindset of despondence. She knew that With my own strength, me, I cannot achieve this. With my own strength, I cannot go halfway. I cannot even, I don't know where the end is. That's why she came with the mindset, despondent. Oh God, if you don't help me, this anger is like a thorn in my flesh. I cannot let it go. But when you now submit, the Holy Ghost will beat that, no matter how hard it is, you will break it down. So that when you now start cultivating the character, then you will see that it will stay. When you go to the next one, verse 7, and some fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded not fruit. Now, when you talk about thorns are things that, you know, that are not okay with our body. So, in the part of you cultivating a character, when you look at the soil, there are people that God actually needs to clip their wings. You know, there are people that thought they are pro and masters in some things. They might think that they've mastered the act of forgiveness, as in they are pro in it. No matter what, I used to think I'm that way. That no, I've said it in my heart that. Even if you like, if you are doing something to me today, me, I have forgiven you like 10 years before. Even if you are doing it, until something happened, I knew that, hey, I know that I'm not there yet. So some people thought that they've mastered some character, that are pro in it. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't clip your wing now, there will be a point you will reach in life. That wing must come up. And if it comes up, you see that you are very weak. And you won't know where it will come up. It might be in a public and you'll be disgraced for it. As in the disgrace you will get, you will beg the ground to open up and swallow. That's why you have to come now. And now ask Holy Ghost, now what? Clip my wing. So that then, when you want to bring out the wing, you see that there is no wing again. The only thing that you bring out is the Holy Ghost. You know that whatever you are doing is what the Holy Ghost has. It is the Holy Ghost that cultivated that, and it is not you. You know, people think that they are good. They are good people. They are very good people. But the goodness is not a result of the dealings of the Holy Ghost. You are just naturally good. There will be a time that goodness will be tested, and you see that truly you are not that good. So the Holy Ghost needs to clip your wings through what you deadness, through what submission, through what humility. You come, and then He breaks you. So that if you don't remove the thorn, you know, in another parable, the Bible said that let the weed and the wheat be growing together. Is that what you want? So that you'll be growing together with your wings. You know, when they wanted to now pluck out the weeds, you know what happened? They say, do all of them together. They now, it is harder to remove, to sift things when you have harvested them. But if they are coming out first, when they are little, you can easily bring it out and throw it. But when they've grown very well and you want to clip it, it's very painful. So it's better you now submit now and clip your wing, so that when the time comes, you know, no, I don't have it again. The Holy Ghost will now take control. And in the last one, we now have what? The good soil. The good soil is where everything you've yielded, you've come with the act of despondence, everything. You remember, I'm talking about the being aspect. When you talk about the being aspect, it is where you what cultivate those characters, the being aspect. You become something, then you now go over to the abounding. The Bible said that if these things be in you, you must become it. You must be. You cannot give what you don't have. First of all, you must cultivate those characters before you talk about giving it to someone else. The characters must be in you first. So that's why I talked on becoming. In becoming, you cultivate it. In cultivation, you talk about your soil. Your soil must be according to pattern. Remember, we talked about the pattern of the kingdom. If in the kingdom, it demands that you yield your soil. In the kingdom, it demands that you submit it. In the kingdom, it demands that your soil be broken down. Don't allow it to lie fallow. It must be broken down, so that it can bear much fruit. Now, when we come to the abounding part, this is the place of abundance. you've become something. And if truly you've become something, you know, the pastor said that the merchandise of the kingdom is what? Life. So if truly you become something, you must transmit it to another person. That is the place of abundance. You are bound in it. The Bible did not just say be. It say you be and what you are bound. And if you are bounding in it, Pastor Femi said that it is an overflow. It must flow to another person. You cannot say you have something. I have it. But someone will come near you and not receive anything. You are yet to have it. You have, even if you have, do something so that it will come out. You must transmit that life. So the place of abundance is the place whereby you are bound. You now start communicating the life, the character. If you say you have love, if you say that you've cultivated love long enough in your life, how can someone come near you and stay with you for 3 days and not see that love exuding out of you? Then you've not really touched it. You've not become it. You say that, no, I've given myself up, like Holy Ghost has conquered it. But someone can stay with you. Stay with you. Someone that has not lied before started staying with you. Within 2 weeks, that person learned how to lie. No, it's true. That person will let. I'm like someone like me. You cannot stay around me and not be diligent. Ah, the way I'll be working you, you'll be forced to not to stay idle. It's a lie. Is a culture that I know the Holy Ghost helped me to. I cannot, even if I want to now stay and not do any, I feel like I'm out of place. You know, I don't know, I don't understand it. So if you come around me and you want to be idle, me, you cannot be idle. So if you actually cultivated a character, you say that you the Holy Ghost has bettered forgiveness in you. Someone that has not forgiven somebody for 3 years came around you, stayed with you, and still went back with that grudge. No, you've not touched it. The words in your mouth will convince that person. By the person staying close to you, that life that you've contacted must flow to that person. That person wouldn't know when, hey, this person did something to me. I don't know why my heart is doing to me as if I should forgive the person. Just laugh in your heart. It is something flowing from you to him. Saying, I want to forgive this person. I don't know. What are you doing to me? I don't know. Something like, so you have entered the place of abundance. I'm not saying I've entered. I used to feel somehow when somebody does not receive, I will say around me, and not as in feel what is boiling inside. I will talk, if you like, I will insult. After I insult you, I will bring you back and say, this is it. You cannot say around me and be talking this nonsense. What is wrong with you? Let the character that is in you overflow. The Bible said, be and abound. If you become it, the Bible said that which is in your heart must be in your mouth. There must be unity between that which is in your heart and that which is in your mouth. It is when there is unity that you can now abound. You cannot be, if you are just talking, saying, and people are not entering it, then you've not become it. Let there be unity. There is no unity. If it's just the talk, if it's just what is coming out of your mouth, and in your heart is very far away, people cannot experience that life that is in you. If it is only in your heart, pray that it will come out in your mouth so that others will benefit. You know, in the kingdom, is not about, the end is not just about us. The end is not just that we become. The end is that we still call others into that light we've entered. If it's just about us, then we'll become and sit down. There is no need to labor. But the Bible says, labor. You labor so that others will enter. So you be then abound. The reason why you are bound is so that you call others. Call others. Hallelujah. When we go down to the last place, I will. Verse 8. No, we are talking about our anchor scripture, 2 Peter. If you are there, help me. Second Peter, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will just buttress the point, barren and unfruitfulness. When you talk about being barren, the word of God said here is that when you have these characters, when you've cultivated it long enough, when through dealings, revelations, and circumstances, you've cultivated these characters, it says that you will neither be what? Barren or what? Unfruitful. When I was reading this, I was now talking, I was now asking the Holy Spirit, what is this barrenness you are talking about? Barren, barren. Does it mean now, you know, something now came, there was a light I got from it. When you talk about barrenness, you know, when you look at a woman like this, that you have womb, or that you've intercourse with a man and you've given birth, it doesn't mean that you are not barren. That was what I got from there. There are people that have given birth, but if they ask them, they will tell you that they don't have children. So the barrenness the word of God is talking about here is not you giving birth to things. It's not you birthing things in the kingdom. It's not you. There are people that actually that went and did things. You are active, but remember when that's why I started with in the context of the kingdom. Everything must be in the context of the kingdom. In the context of the kingdom, you are very, very active, but in the kingdom, you are inactive. Before God, whatever you are doing has not been recognized. You are just moving around. You are very active. But before God, you are still barren. Because you having power. You've raised people. I love moving in power, doing miracles and all that. But all those things cannot be traced to the conscience of God. You are actually what? Barren. You are doing things, but you are very, very inactive. You are barren. Those things that you've actually given birth to cannot be, it amounts to little before God. They are not worthy things. They are not things that can be reckoned. They are not things God that can actually put his seal upon. That's why God is still crying. I sought for a man. We have given birth. There are so many things we have laid hold on, but still, the land is barren. Because of what? We've not actually cultivated the character that is the bedrock of those things. If no matter what you give birth to, and it is on the bedrock of life, before God, you are still barren. The land is still crying. How can the finance you have, you've actually gotten out of slander, you've actually gotten out of bribe, how can he be used to power the things in the kingdom? Something you've gotten out of bribe, you stood out of lack of integrity and you've gotten something, you now brought it to finance the kingdom. What is your aim? The land is still, that's why God is saying you are barren. You are barren, though you have it, though you have the power, though you can heal the sick, though you can pray, though you can do all that, without the character, the Bible is saying that you are still barren. But if you have these things, if you cultivate this character, diligence, consistency, love, patience, then you will not be barren. Why would God say that someone that has the ability to give birth, someone that the reason why is that you've not actually given that which the Holy Ghost, you've not actually allowed the Holy Ghost to breathe upon it. You just received one sign of anointing. You now rush that and start forming things on your own. You start becoming active. You do this. They ask to say I'm busy. If they ask to say I'm busy doing the work of God, I'm busy doing. That's why God will say you did this in my name. I did it. But God said I don't know you, because before Him you are barren. He's looking for the children that you bet out of things He has given you. He didn't see it. Before His eyes you are barren, but before your eyes you have children. It's an error. That's why we have to enter. When Bodugo was saying eternity, me, I looked at, I now looked, it's a place where you can compress time. You go there. If you don't go there, you cannot bring, you cannot compress that time. But when you find yourself there, make sure you compress that time and find something that is in that time and come out with it. It is when you come out with it, when you run with it, God, you will not be barren. Say, if you have these things, you will not fail. Whenever I listen to convicting power, pastor will say, if you do these things, you will not fail. You now sing that song that looks like song. Me, I love that. But so you will not be, the Bible cannot lie. If you have these things, you cannot be barren. No. God cannot look at you and be seeing you. You are praying. You've done everything. He's still saying that you are barren. It's because you've not allowed, you know, it is the Holy Ghost that can incubate everything and then birth it. The Holy Ghost now incubated it, and you now went and birthed it by yourself. How is it possible? It is the Holy Ghost that birthed it. Allow Him to incubate you and still give birth to it. You don't have the power to give birth to the things of the Spirit by your own power. You don't have it. Allow the Spirit that incubated it in your heart, in your womb, to bring it out. That is when it will come out with all the fissures intact. When you talk of unfruitfulness, unfruitfulness simply means that you've not actually, you are just, they gave you, you've mastered love. You've actually, the Holy Ghost, the character of love has been bettered in you. You now do small. You now categorize it. If it's this person, no matter what he does, I'll forgive that person. This one, no. Unfruitfulness. You are just on one spot. What the level of love you have in this year will still be the same in the next year. It increases. You multiply. Fruitfulness simply means multiplication. Increase. Let the level of the things you've received increase. Let it not be said of us that we receive things from God and still remain on one spot. Let the character of God be bettered in our heart. If it's bettered in our heart, let it spread forth to those around us. If you have these things and abound in them, in the next one, we are going to ask God to bring us to the place of abundance. You know, it's different to have something and then you cannot communicate it to others. It is when you come to the place of abundance that you can be able to communicate the life which you have received from God. I'm going to ask God, bring us to the place of what? Abundance. It is a path that Holy Ghost can lead you to. You cannot lead yourself. Even if you try to, you don't know the pathway. It is the Holy Ghost that will lead you to the path of abundance. You know what and what to do. It is in His will to lead you into the path whereby you can abound. You become and you abound. It is of no use when you have character and people around you cannot feel the effect of it. I used to think that I am not giving to fame until God showed me something in the dream. I actually was going for evangelism and I healed someone that was dead. I was now jubilating. I was asking the camera, why won't you snap me with this person? What are you doing? Come and snap me. As in the Holy Ghost now pinched me. I see, you see? I thought I'm not giving to fame. You don't know the capacity of what you have. You don't know until the circumstances beat you. You know you still know that you are proud. Tell the Holy Ghost, bring me to the place of abundance. Enter that place. It's a place where you can enter. You are bound and communicate to others. Don't just become. Holy Ghost, grant us the ability to abound. Teach us the pathway to abound. We want to abound. We want to amount. We want to bring people to light of what the life we have received. We don't just want to become. We want an overflow whereby we beckon on others to come to our light. It is when you are bound that men will come to your rising. We ask you, Holy Ghost, take us through the path, the holy path, that path that we know not of, oh God, the place of abundance, the place where light dwells. We ask you, oh God, take us to the place, take us to the secret place.